Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text for today is today's gospel and then next week's, which I will read today. Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them." After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. "Are you so dull?" he asked. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach, and then out of the body." In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on, "What comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person." So far the text. Dear friends in Christ, I think if any of you have ever, which I'm sure you have, experienced a loss of some kind, some thing or some person, it really kind of throws your life off. Even like the first time I lost my dog, okay, where we had to put our dog to sleep, the first dog I ever actually owned myself. It was weird because that dog had always been with me for 9 years. Okay, every time I walked in the door, he was there. And that first day coming home, and every day after that, with him not being there, it was just bizarre. It was unsettling. It kind of took my balance away. It's like there was a void in my life that just wasn't going to be filled. And I think the ancient Israelites understood that feeling very well. Ezekiel told them that God was leaving his temple. And then the Babylonians came and destroyed the temple and took them away into exile. And they were in a foreign land around foreign people with a foreign culture, and there was a void in their heart. They had no idea what to do or how to live or how to survive. Now Ezekiel continued to give them God's promise. He promised that God was still with them, that God still loved them, that he was still protecting them, that someday he would bring them back to the promised land again. And yet, instead of focusing on the promise, they focused on something external. They focused on the law and on the tradition of the elders. Now, it's that second thing, the tradition of the elders. This is what is the reason the disciples get in trouble here. Okay? In this case, that tradition is you have to wash your hands before you eat. Now, first of all, we have to understand these traditions of the elders served a good purpose. I mean, they weren't evil in and of themselves. They were meant, and they grew, especially during the exile, so they could keep the children of Israel a separate community, set apart for God, in the midst of all these Gentiles and all this false worship. And that wasn't just in Babylon. When they came back to, they were going to be occupied by the Greeks and then occupied by the Romans. They'd have Gentiles all around them all the time. And these traditions kept them sacred for God, set aside for him. So there's nothing wrong with them. And another thing about these traditions of the elders, one size did not fit all. It depended on where you came from and who you were. So the tradition of the elders in Galilee, where most of the disciples came from, were a lot more lax than they were in Judea, and they were a million times easier than what the Pharisees followed. Now keep in mind, here in this case, it's wash your hands before you eat. Nothing wrong with that, right? And Jesus never says there's anything wrong with that. We have to understand that. I mean, when I was a little kid, and the first time I heard my dad preach on this text, that's the first I'd ever heard of that. You don't have to wash your hands before you eat. That's great. You know, I mean, I was always starving. There were never snacks in my house between meals, ever. And I mean, except for Shackley products, I don't know if you remember those things. They just tasted horrible. It's horrible diet stuff that my mom would eat, and who'd eat that? So when it came to supper time, I mean, one of the reasons I eat so fast today is because just, I mean, it was competition. You had to get the food fast, as much as possible. And one thing that slowed you down is washing my hands. And so after that sermon, I remember, it was like a Sunday evening, I made a point of making sure my hands were as filthy as possible and came to the supper table and reached for a chicken leg, and bam, I got bammed. Mom says, "Wash your hands." I said, "Jesus says we're not supposed to wash our hands." And my dad said, "Yeah, Jesus also said, honor your father and mother." And I'm like, "Dad," they always get me on that one every single time. Still do. No, Jesus isn't saying you shouldn't wash your hands before you eat. Of course, what's wrong with that? It's a good idea, right? What he's saying is, this isn't in the Old Testament. All right? The Pharisees are the ones who have shifted the law, and you know what the actual law is? You need to wash and ritually cleanse yourself before you worship in the temple. They shifted the whole thing to every aspect of their life, even before you ate. Jesus says that's an external thing. Might be a good idea, might be cleanly, but it's external. In other words, how much you wash or how little you wash is not the problem or the solution to the problem. There is an internal problem, and he makes it very clear here, it has to do with your heart. But it's so easy for us to focus on the externals. How easy is it for us to just point at society and say, look at that, man, those guys are out of control, instead of trying to deal with the inner issues that we have to deal with? As Christians, we can fall into this trap. Take, for example, giving to the church. Nothing wrong with that. Okay, the Bible certainly talks about it. We give offerings to God. But when we start to think that the amount that we give, or the lack thereof, is the most important part, then we've lost our way. When we focus on the external, then we start hearing sermons, give until it hurts. Okay? No. If it hurts, don't give, because then giving is sinning. Don't hurt. You give because it doesn't hurt anymore. In other words, it's not this external thing about giving, it's internal. It's not about how much you give or how little. It is, where is your heart as you give? Same with worship. Going to church is good. Worshiping the Lord is good. The Bible talks all about that. And yet the amount that you go, or lack thereof, is not the point. You can see that in church. I've seen that in churches throughout my ministry. My dad always told me, don't change anything right away. Well, this is something that I always changed when I got to a church, if I could. And that was giving out awards for perfect attendance for Sunday school. You know, you get all these little gold stars in the book. And whoever had the most gold stars or perfect, then they were recognized. The kid was, you know, stood up and everybody cheered him or her. It's usually her. And they gave him a white Bible. I'm just like, unless that kid's got a driver's license, hey, you know, give the award to the parents. The parents are bringing that kid to Sunday school, and that was sending the wrong message about worship. It's not about how many times you come or how many golden stars you get, okay? It's where your heart is as you are worshiping. The biggest mistake the ancient Israelites make was the mistake where they thought the reason they were in exile was because they broke God's law and the tradition of the elders. It had never been the case. Not once. That wasn't why. Jesus says there's an inner problem. And the problem is inside you. It's your heart, and therefore the solution is inside you. Again, though, it's so easy for us to focus on all of these externals. Especially like in a couple months. People say, well, if this person gets elected, everything will be better. Trust me, it doesn't matter who gets elected. Yeah. Not going to make it any better. If people would just act this way, act like us, think like us, everything would be... No, it's not external. We have to look at the problem of the heart. The Pharisees come to Jesus, and in essence what they're saying is, why have your disciples not set themselves aside as a unique and blessed people of God? And throughout Jesus' entire ministry, he answers this question in basically these words. The disciples have never set themselves apart as a people of God. I set them apart as a people of God. I redeemed them. I made them children of God. And I am the one who healed the void in their heart. In other words, the internal solution is seeing the truth. Jesus spoke to his disciples in John 14. He says, don't let your hearts be troubled. A void in their heart, they'll certainly feel when Jesus dies on the cross. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You see, the void in their heart was their problem, and they would incredibly feel that when Jesus died on the cross. But Jesus says it's not going to be the end. Even at that point, before Jesus died, he told them the truth. Yes, he will die, but he's also dying for their sin, and he will rise again from the dead, and he'll ascend into heaven, and he promises to be with them always, and eventually, someday, he's going to come and take them home. They could see the truth healed their heart, because then they had peace, and then they had joy, and they had a hope, as we do, for each day, for the next day, and for the last day. So that's how we see, okay? We see the truth that heals the void within us. Next week, we're going to see how we live in that truth. In Jesus' name, amen.